episode 98 of Drunk on Comics. I just want to explain to you guys how hard it is to explain puns to kleptomaniacs because they take things literally.
Do they try and steal your jokes too?
Yeah.
I love it.
All right. Well,
I love it.
It's about time Tony had a random punny joke to start the
show. He's been saving it for my return, my epic return.
Well, welcome back.
Who the hell are you?
Matt.
Yeah, who are you?
any new listeners that came last month are probably like, he's back?
Regular listeners that have been like their last month and a half, they're like, I thought they killed him off.
I was only comic book dead, people. I'm back.
Nice. Well, everyone, welcome to Drunk on Comics. My name is Derek. We've already heard from Matt. We got Tony here.
Yep, that's me.
And we got Kevin here.
Oh, hi, everybody. What's happening?
This is the first time the four of us have all been together in a long-ass time.
And it's going to be the last time in a while, too.
Well, for about a month, you know, until we get back to
Motor City. Spoiler warning.
Yeah. Spoiler warning. Yeah, we'll cover that. We're going to talk spoilers, so there's your warning.
Yeah,
this is a spoiler zone, and so things tend to spoil quickly.
It's kind of like a bad refrigerator.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot like Tony's jokes.
Yeah, we said spoiled, not rotten. all right, guys. Well, we are going to talk about a number of things here this week, including books that came out, talk about some industry news, and probably crack a few crude and offensive jokes, or maybe say a bad word or two. So there's your warning on that one, too.
What the fuck would we say that's bad?
Shit, I don't know. But anyway.
Yeah, it's fair enough, because I still don't think we figured out how to put explicit content on like Apple iTunes.
No, it's on iTunes.
Oh, it actually says it now?
Yeah, we got the little red E.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, it's been there for a while.
I know, like, the first 60 episodes.
It was fucked up. It was there for a while, and then it just magically disappeared. And I'm like, did they stop listening to what?
That's probably, it's probably why so many high school students are tuning in.
I hope so. Yeah. Actually, I heard we're big with the fifth graders.
Nice.
all right, guys. We're going to get things kicked off here with Off the Shelf, where... like I said before, we're going to talk about books that came out this week, so don't be surprised if we share little secrets about things that happen in it.
Yeah, if you are behind on reading like most of us get these days, hit pause, go read it, or you know, skip ahead to the next one and listen on.
Or just listen, and when it gets to a certain point, just go la 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 la.
Yeah, that works too.
Yeah.
Who's going first?
I can go first, unless somebody else really wants
to.
Do
it. Do it. That's good enough for a volunteer.
I wanted to go first.
Get back in the corner. Sorry.
Man, this must be some good comics, man. You're getting all choked up.
I am. It's really, really delicious comics. you're not supposed to eat them. All right, no, actually, I have Solar, Man of the Atom, number one from Dynamite. Why are you giving me that look about this comic, Kevin?
Is this new property?
No.
Oh, okay, so this did exist at one point.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
When you mentioned it to me yesterday, I'm like, that sounds familiar, but...
This is one of those Golden Key characters, which Dynamite is doing, and there's Dr. Spectre, which we talked about here a couple weeks back, mm-hmm. is one, and... Let's see.
Did you say Golden Key?
Gold Key, sorry.
Oh.
Yeah, Gold Key, not Golden Key. Well, but yeah.
But what's that mean?
That was the company that owned the character.
Oh, okay. Okay. Right, I thought you were kind of referencing that these were gold standard.
This book is.
See, now is this just another knockoff Superman?
No.
Really?
No, not at all.
Solar not having anything to do with the sun, powers, something.
Well, it's not solar, it's solar.
Yeah, well, that's what I meant to say. I can't pronounce.
He was just talking about his Kryptonian name, Solar.
Yeah, that's his father. I am Solar. Yeah, and the other one I think is actually, I think Turok, Dinosaur Hunter, I think might be one of those other ones that's... falls in that category. Anyway, this was written by Frank J. Barbary, and Joe Bennett was the artist. Warren Aff did the colors, and Juan Doe did the cover. This is Tony. I'll fill you in here. This is not a Superman. He has all the powers of science, which.
So he's Neil deGrasse Tyson?
No, he's more like Bill Nye.
Okay.
Yeah.
Does he have laser eyes?
He has pretty much whatever the fuck he wants.
So he can be Superman if he wanted to? He can leap tall buildings?
He can do more than Superman.
He's like Superman and Batman combined.
He turns bullets into steam.
Nice.
He makes weapons get really hot so that people have to drop their guns. He actually
Superman does it with his laser eyes.
Can Superman cause a woman to basically phase so that when the guy tries to shoot her in the head, the bullet passes through and it doesn't hurt her?
She goes so quick.
He's
does.
A wizard,
Mr. Wizard. Yeah,
a wizard from Thor's magical world of technology.
Anyway, back to the comic book. The reason that I liked this, as far as just the character, is that he basically where this character came from. I'm not going to get too much into it because the way that it's written is beautifully developed, and it's good character creation origin type story as far as like letting you kind of see in a good way. But he doesn't have powers per se. He uses science, and they actually have all these different scientific equations in here whenever he does something. That
he's like, look it up if they're real or if they're...
I was way too lazy to bother looking it up. I'm guessing probably not, because otherwise we could all turn guns into water.
Yeah, if we really knew the...
If we knew the chemical, scientific equation. So...
Let me see, keep giving me these looks. Kevin's going to look at some of these equations.
Like you were such a doubting Thomas
today. They used to do that with Amadeus Joe, or Chow.
Yeah,
in the Marvel Universe. Like, I remember seeing one where these agents were going to come pick him up, and he's sitting at a diner, and all of a sudden you see his math vision where he's calculating the trajectory of kicking a chair over and, like, throwing this at a person and how much force that would do when they hit their head. And I thought that was, I know you can't do that on every page because that takes a lot of planning, a lot of detail, a lot for the artist and the writer to collaborate with. But when it's done well, those things like the equations, I think, make it feel real nerdy, and that's great.
There's one of them in there where I don't get is it says, I don't know what it would be. What would,
E equals MC squared.
Mercury and iron turns into water.
Of course. Didn't you not know that?
Yeah.
Well, no, that's like basically he's turning it.
Yeah, you know, I understand it in the panel he's turning something into water, but
this book is all fake because of those equations.
Yeah, science isn't real.
Come on, Derek, bring it back for me. I'm out right now. Bring it back.
Let's go into the actual mechanics of the comic. Barbary, as far as his the quantum mechanics of the comic, is that better?
That's better.
Yes. That sounds acceptable.
Yeah. His writing in this book, this is that kind of behind the scenes, inner monologue that goes on, is one of the most just fluid monologues that I've read in a long time. And that's what really sucked me in. Like, I'm sitting there going, I don't know about this, comic. I wasn't sure about the premise. And I started reading it, and I'm like, holy shit, this guy is one hell of a writer. I mean, it was almost one of those things where you kind of felt like there was music playing in the background while you're reading a comic.
Okay.
It was that good. I mean, it really drew me in. As far as Solar, the thing that I liked about him as a character, though, that what they did, they really showed him struggling to control his powers and trying to, I guess, deal with the fact that he gave up normal human life to do this. And
what planet's he from?
Earth.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. That's E-Arth.
Earth.
E-Arth. Yeah. He's Solar from E-Arth. But yeah, no, it's just really, really well written. And there's a girl in here which I'm not going to explain who she is because I want everybody to read this, but when she's looking at Solar in this tank, it's just one of those things. She's I guess, distraught over the whole situation. And her little line in here is, "You're seriously freaking me the fuck out. You know you're green, right?" I'm like, cool. Like, they're just going to bypass the fact that there's some random guy that turned green that has all these problems. Like, I mean,
yeah,
it's a very real world setting.
Taking its time to develop and...
Yeah.
Okay.
As far as, you know...
How close is he to Marvel Man?
You know, I don't know, because I didn't really read Marvel Man. I picked it up, looked at it, and put it down.
Okay. Because Marvel Man's kind of like Superman, so if he's like Marvel Man, he's kind of like Superman.
He's not like Superman! Fuck. Joe Bennett on art on this did a superb job with the emotion.
Superman job?
Will you shut the fuck up, seriously?
Okay, I'm done. Superman. Okay, I'm done.
Swear to God, you're like my kryptonite. But anyway, the emotions from Bennett is where he really excels. You know, as far as the panel layouts, there's a lot of really long panoramic panel layouts in here, which are nice. The colors in here really helped set everything apart. Overall, I was shocked. And I got to be honest, I was curious about this book, but I didn't expect to fall in love with it. And I figured, oh, I might like it, but I really did fall in love with this. And so I think everybody should go out and grab it and give it a shot. It's not your normal superhero comic. And I think that's, you know.
Well, it's Dynamite, for starters.
Yeah. Well, and actually, Tony, I think here's the best thing. It's not a Superman comic. And that's why it's so great. So maybe that... Thank you, I guess, because you made me, you know.
Sum it up in that sentence right
hey,
there.
Hey, what's wrong with Superman?
Lots. Oh, lots.
Fuck you all.
You guys hate Superman. I don't have a problem with Superman. I like Superman. But it's not your normal, just...
Good. Hero, villain book. It's more to do with the, I don't know, science of things.
Yeah. I'm
no, I'd be curious. I think there's a lot of good material there for the writer, so I'd be pleased to take a peek at it. So
yeah, it's a really, really good one. You know, and eventually, I mean, I guess if you stare at it too long, you can get blinded
by the
science.
Yeah. Cool. Who's next?
All right, I'll go next.
Science.
So, are you doing a book on Superman?
No. There were three new books that I was going to pick up, and then I didn't, and then I went back, and then I decided to pick up Solar. Actually, was one of them. But I forgot to, so I'm kind of sad that I didn't. Cause
you didn't have enough money in your change purse?
Yeah, pretty much so. Another one is something that we're going to talk about maybe later. I'm not sure. But the one that I want to talk about now is called Star Mage. Star Mage number one, in fact. It's one of six by IDW, written by J.C. De La Torre, art by Ray Dillon. It's the normal coming-of-age kid, you know, is Earthling, finds out his father is going on a trip to Mars, doesn't come back, and then gets abducted by a Earth-looking alien, who then he finds out that he's an alien because his parents were aliens, and they're a sorceress race of star mages, and,
are they,
you know, the normal...
Are they Martians?
I don't know if that's where they're originally from. Actually, pretty sure they're from the other side of the galaxy, far, far away, because...
So is this Fantastic Four?
Not so much, no.
No?
Yeah.
Is he like the Thing?
He's just a teenage kid.
Oh, so he's like Franklin Richards.
Yes, actually, almost, I would probably say with, they didn't have a lot of development as a character in this book. They had a lot more development of the story and where it's going. I did enjoy it. I felt it was a little bit more aged towards a younger audience,
so
which
more
was
like
perfect
FF
for me.
Comic.
Yes.
I'm just curious how it ties into Final Fantasy with a Star Mage, and can I play one in the next version of Final Fantasy?
Yeah, do you get to power up?
So he gets his powers from his dad, Kal-El, so fuck you guys, Superman.
You do realize this is just me just getting back at you for not shutting the fuck up while
I know.
I'm trying to talk.
No, I'm going to make this review quick because it was a good starting point to this series. It left a lot of things wondering of what the hell is this kid's powers. He was getting beat up because he's a nerd. Obviously, his dad did die on his mission to Mars, but did he actually die? There's a war going out in the galaxy, and this guy comes and pretty much like, oh, you're not ready. You didn't even know you were an alien kid that could do magic with stars and be a mage. And like I said, the kid even flat out said, he goes, I'm like Harry Potter, and then it gets cut off, and the guy's like, no, dude, you're more than that. And so I don't even know his powers. All I know is that he escaped from some ropes when he was attacked by the meathead jock. But like I said, it was a new book. I wanted to
you got a lot to develop, but in the first issue,
yeah.
You
know, but it left on a cliff,
all the tricks.
Yeah, left on the cliffhanger of being abducted by the spaceship guy, and they're going somewhere else. So
did you say Ray Dillon did the art?
Yes.
How was that?
Really good. There's a couple of particular scenes where the kid, when he's just, you see him kind of using the power, and it looks like almost he's holding the galaxy in his hands, which actually, when you're making fun of it being Franklin Richards, kind of that's what I was thinking. Yeah, he fucking has the universe in the palm of his hands, so.
Nice.
It's good. Definitely pick it up. I definitely will stick around for issue two to see where it goes as far as if it's something that's superb or not.
Or super. Or man.
Or stellar. Interstellar, maybe.
Fantastic.
Maybe he's a star.
Okay.
Wow. These jokes are going supernova fast.
And moving on.
All right. Kevin? Go. Matt?
No, Kevin, go. Go ahead, Kevin.
Oh, I'm going. Okay. Well, first of all, we here at Drunken Comics like to make corrections occasionally.
What?
Yeah, yeah. I made one earlier in the show already. PB is lead, not mercury.
Oh, okay.
So, so I screwed that up.
It's also like half of a good sandwich. PB and J.
Peanut butter man.
Yeah, it's just a good condiment.
Yeah,
is peanut butter a condiment?
I don't know if you want to put that on your penis. That's not a good condiment.
Yeah. But it's your dog.
Yeah. I'm just sitting there thinking, boy, I guess I'm not getting chunky anymore.
All right, anyways. So
all new Jif with spermicide. You know,
what the?
All right. So,
how would we get on that tangent?
What's best on tap this week wasn't necessarily what I was going to choose.
Wait, best on tap or off the shelf?
Well, off the shelf. Yeah. Okay. See, here I go again. Get my segment.
Corrections.
Take one week off, and we got to train you all over.
And we've done this for what 97 and a half episodes now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Something so like that. Not a surprise. I wanted to talk about Justice League, but man, blah 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 about Justice League for how many podcasts?
96.
Probably for a while. So I can't. So I'm going to leave the gush fest aside, and I'm going to talk to you about the all new Ultimates number one by Marvel Comic Books, written by Michael Fife, art by Amilcar Pina, colors by Nolan Woodward. Now, of course, now I'm thinking about it, I'm kind of falling in love with another comic book aspect thing, which would be the Ultimate Universe.
I think I'm the last one on board with the Ultimates.
Really? Because, I mean, I'm thinking about this, really for the last 3, 4, 5 shows we've been doing, I think I've slapped a high five to the Ultimate Universe. To survive. I talked about that. That was essentially the
Cataclysm thing.
Yeah, wrap up, yeah, right? The Cataclysm wrap up. Survive was the Steve Rogers, he's dead thing that happens.
Oh yeah.
awake.
No funeral for Thor.
Yeah.
The dead president.
Yeah, no funeral for Thor. He's just trapped in the negative zone.
So, anyway, so all new Ultimates, if you didn't know, this is a new team that consists of Spider-Man.
It says new in their title. I'd hope they're new.
Well, I don't know. Everything's all new at Marvel right now.
Well, in 20 issues, is it still going to be all new? But they're still going to be called all new.
All new X-Men is still all new at
even though 25. They're old.
Well, they're
all new old X-Men.
Yeah, all new old original X-Men. We're not old, but based on years, we are.
You're only as young as you feel, X-Men.
So. So I know Spider-Man. I've heard of Spider-Woman. Bombshell.
I don't know who she is.
No one?
Yes.
And is she the babe with the big boobs?
She's babe. I don't know. I didn't really look at her.
Her comic book character, she's average.
I didn't look at her tidbits that much.
Which means bigger than a normal.
And then there's Cloak and Dagger. And do you guys know anything about these guys?
Cloak and Dagger? Oh, yeah. They're kind of cool.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Because I only know them. Actually, I only know Cloak and Dagger from this cool movie I used to watch growing up in the 80s.
Was that the one with Dabney Coleman in it? And the little kid?
It had a little kid in it.
Yeah, the little kid got into this spy world, and Dabney Coleman, I think, was like some like character he had created in his mind.
Yeah.
Something like
that. Yeah. But what are their powers?
Well, in the normal Marvel universe, they essentially got these drug kind of thing, same way that Luke Cage's powers came from some weird drug concoction. She kind of has powers over light and can shoot these like light daggers type deal. And his power is he got a teleporting cloak, which brings you to the dark dimension. And so he can transport people through there, or he can hold people in there. So he's like a bag of holding. But they got this whole light and darkness theme to them. And
That's cool because. Obviously, for me asking, they don't really explain anyone's origin here. They just mash them together, and this is
like
this
is. I'm not sure what their twist is in the Ultimate Universe, but I'm sure it still has. They're a couple light, darkness, and he's a teleporter. So
now, as far as Bombshell, what I knew of her because I think she came about like mid 80s. Like it's not like a super old character, but the one thing that I always thought was a little on the kitschy side was that. She was an explosive expert, which is why she was Bombshell. At one point, I think she could actually shoot like kind of like laser beams or power beams or something like that out of her hands.
Yeah, that's what she's doing here. Yeah,
but the thing that I thought was like the real back in the day was she was a master juggler.
Mm.
So she would like juggle grenades and throw them. You know,
that's cool.
That's badass, man. I was just talking to some of my other friends the other day that there's not enough juggling in comic books.
There aren't enough juggalos in comic books either.
Keep going, Kevin. So in the Ultimates, they're getting together and they're going to fight some crime.
That's outlandish.
I know this. I love this book. So what I like about this book so far is actually they're teaming up together and they're putting him up into a real-world situation, like if superheroes were to really get together. Meaning, like, okay, superheroes, we know that their income is going to be minimal, so they have to resort to, like, using, like, empty buildings as headquarters. They gotta get together, and they gotta come up with an agenda and a schedule. And you just can't come together and be a team. And it's just that real comic book realism that I don't see a lot in comics, and I enjoy.
So they're lacking the organizational leadership of Captain America, and therefore they're going back to like a grassroots.
Well,
after school group project.
It sounds more like they're getting together to record a weekly podcast about comics.
True.
Yeah. So I'm just getting a bang out of that, and it's of course it's light. There is some lighthearted parts to it, and it all works, and it's great. I'm getting all soft and gooey about administrative work, but but they eventually actually get together and go out and fight crime. The big crime network that they explore in this book later in the issues is offers a really great developing story that I think they could develop this into a nice 5, 6, 7 page story arc. It's really nice.
5, 6, 7 page?
Just pages.
Yeah.
Just pages.
I mean, this thing could fill out, like, easily a quarter of a comic book.
Well, you see, it is the aftermath of the whole Cataclysm issue, so they got a lot to cover.
Oh, okay. Yeah, all right, good.
No, issues. Now, another thing I'm quickly becoming fascinated with in this book and in this universe in general is another hero that I didn't mention. Kitty Pryde, also known as...
Shadowcat,
thank you.
And Sprite.
Whatever the
name is. Katya?
Kaka?
Isn't that what Magic called her?
Yeah.
Well, it's what Peter Rasputin Colossus called her.
I think it's like Russian for Catherine.
Yeah.
So she was one of the more biggest factors.
I'm getting lost.
She's one of the biggest factors.
So she's a huge factor in the Ultimate Universe, of the reason why Galactus was banished to another world.
She essentially took on Galactus by herself for a little
bit. Yeah, and it was really badass.
Just enough to stall him so that they could get the real plan into play. But because she could phase through his machinery, she was disrupting the crap out of that. Because she was phased, originally Galactus is trying to hit her and is like, I can't. And then Galactus goes, oh, go on a different wavelength, then he starts winning. And, oh, they also gave her Hank Pym's giant formula, so she was giant. Like him, so it was.
Yeah, it was.
It was actually really cool. And, yeah,
that is actually.
And really I appreciate cool. how much Kitty Pryde does have a. You know, she's an important character there, especially since they've killed off most of the other typical leaders of the Ultimate.
So with that happening, she's a huge celebrity on Earth now.
Nice,
just massive, and seeing how she's adjusting to this new life, and it's still in the infant stages where she's got the status, but right now she just wants to be a shut-in because like everyone wants to talk to her, interview her, endorse her, all this. So it's a fascinating thing, and there's just a 2-page thing about that and Jessica Drew, Spider-Woman, and their interactions, and that was just that was fascinating to me, and I hope that they continue to expand this on both the all new Ultimates and Survive. If that wasn't a one shot, I'm not quite sure.
I think Survive was a one shot.
It was so. Okay. So this is where I have to get my Ultimates fix. Cool. All right, that's cool with that. Quick props to Carpin and Woodard for the art in this book. I can't put my finger on it, but this has its own unique feel to it, I think, just for the Ultimates. I don't know. It could be just my man crush on this book developing. I don't know. But there are some pretty cool details in the fight scenes, and there are some gross aspects. I'm not really a big fan of gross things in comic books is usually a turn off, but they did it eloquently enough that it wasn't distracting for me. So props to them with their good artwork. But at the end of the day, Ultimates, all new Ultimates, don't want to forget that, number one, it's where it's at. This was definitely a pickup worthy for me, and I hope others.
Just a quick note on that art, flipping through, Kevin, the one thing that just really stuck out to me was...
Puss?
No. What's no, the lighting, like the lights and the shadows and like the backlighting. And
yeah, I didn't really notice that as much until the last page. Very colorful and lighty.
Yeah. Yeah, there's like what, one or two panels where like the sun's shining in through the window behind them kind of thing. And I was like, whoa. Like, they went out of their way to do that, and that was nice.
I just kind of want to know, how does Superman tie into this?
He's coming in the next issue. So.
Oh.
Is that
you
what
know,
makes it the Ultimate Universe?
What I'm curious is what level threats the all-new Ultimates will be facing. Because the Ultimates were kind of the world... They're the Avengers, so it's the things that are happening on a world scale with the types of threats they're dealing with. Whereas, you know, your X-Men, your Fantastic Four, they sometimes would be dealing with smaller independent issues. So I'd be curious to see, like, how big that...
Right now it's going for that local street-level thuggery. That's where it looks like it's going, but, I mean...
Cool.
Is it going to stay? I mean, Miles Morales was going up against Galactus. So is it going to escalate to something that big? Probably not, but...
I'm mostly curious to find out why Kitty Pryde's house has doors.
So her boyfriends can come visit?
No, she can phase anybody through she wants.
That's true.
Resale value.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to review Deadpool versus Carnage number 2, because that came out this week, although the first one came out, I want to say, just a couple weeks ago. Just like Marvel, you know, comic books are no longer a monthly thing, but...
That might even be a weekly release.
Okay. Well, it's only a mini-series.
Yeah.
Written by Cullen Bunn, art by Salva Espin, and colored by Veronica Gandini. Nice work. As a team, I've liked a lot of Cullen Bunn's other stuff. Helheim was really good, and I know he just did another one.
Well, he does The Sixth Gun.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got... and what else has he done recently? Well, he did the Deadpool Kills miniseries.
That might have been...
Miniseries.
I think he's working on Sinestro right now.
I think, yeah. Yeah, so, that dude like writes a lot of stuff.
So, essentially, in this issue, Carnage broke out again, and they don't even explain how Carnage broke out. The last time we saw him, he was basically... Cletus Cassidy had been lobotomized by Superman. But so that, you know, kind of aside, reminding myself, this is just a miniseries, so don't worry about continuity. After I got over that fact, I'm really enjoying the book. So Carnage is out killing a bunch of people. And Deadpool is just watching TV, hearing about it. And he goes, this is boring. So he starts flipping the channels. And everything that he flips to starts making a message to him that he should go get... he should be the person to go catch Carnage. Because they're both crazy. And they're the both same kind of crazy. So he's the only person who can really track down this mindless, senseless thing. So real fun idea that Deadpool's asking the universe... to give him clues, and the way he follows those clues, the jokes are in the book. Me recreating them won't be as funny, but it makes for a real interesting and entertaining read. So I'll say that the book's got a lot of humor to it, and it's really fun. And if you like Deadpool and that sort of thing, great book to have. The only thing I'm missing are the two other voices making commentary. That being said, this latest issue... was great because Deadpool, they show a lot of Deadpool with his mask being blown off. And so you see his hamburger face, which is something you don't get to see too often. And he, all of his stuff got sold to this really, really obese dude who's wearing Deadpool's costume. So Deadpool needs his new costume, so he has to get it off of the fat dude. Which the art in it, again, is pretty awesome. Even so much as, Derek will enjoy this, when they walk back in the house and we see the guy's butt crack. Because he's spilling out of the pants.
Yeah.
Other thing that I liked on the art is, even when Deadpool's wearing his mask, you get to see his smirk and his smile underneath the mask, which gives a lot of, you know, character to somebody who's masked.
Yeah, so that's one of the problems with, well, anybody, whether it's a Spider-Man or, you know, Deadpool or anybody that's got that full mask.
Usually you get it all expressed in the eyes.
Yeah.
But this one, you're getting the eyes and you're getting his little smirking.
Which I always wondered how he managed to make the little eyes move.
That's one of the reasons in the movies it doesn't, you don't get a lot of just him FaceTime talking. Because in the movies where you can't get the eyes to move and be expressive, you're there for full body shots. And then that's why the character always gets unmasked so quickly, that and the actor wants some, you know, FaceTime. But
FaceTime.
Yeah. But in the comic books, it's easier to show that expression based off of the eyes. So that's one of the reasons why. Anyways, so Carnage and Deadpool are going to fight some more. The last thing I was going to say is paying attention to detail, and this does bring into continuity. You'd ask yourself, well, how does Deadpool know Carnage's weaknesses? Because he used some sonics against him. He used some incendiary bombs. And he explains, yeah, I hung out with your dad, brother, whoever he is, done some work with him. And I figured that this stuff annoys him, so it must annoy you too. And because he was with Venom in the
Thunderbolts.
And so I was just kind of like, nice little nod to the continuity. It's making for a real fun story. So if you like Deadpool or Carnage, I think that this will be a nice miniseries to pick up.
Cool. Well, before we conclude with Off the Shelf, we do have to give one brief little shout-out.
No, we don't.
Yeah.
The conclusion
of Superior Spider-Man, issue number 31.
I don't want it to end.
Because you don't want to pay up.
Pay up what?
Yes, our official, as the official arbitrator of this bet, I'm going to say that it was indeed all in Peter's mind. Ghost Peter was just a figment of imagination Peter, and Derek wins the bet.
What happened to Peter being in heaven? He was dead. They showed him in heaven.
Just because he saw the light doesn't mean that he was actually a ghost.
I will point out where he was dead, and he was dead for a minute.
The spirit does tricky things.
Yeah, so...
he was resurrected.
Dan Slott, Christos Gage.
On the 35th. The 30th episode.
Yeah.
It's 10 times longer than Jesus.
Dan Slott and Christos Gage, thank you for not making Peter Parker a ghost. So Tony owes me $20.
Yeah. I did not like how this series wrapped up.
You just didn't like it because, you know, Tony, you're one of the most frugal people.
You want to make a counter bet, Tony?
Counter bet.
You should bet Derek that Dr. Octopus isn't dead, that he didn't actually delete himself, but he uploaded himself. And therefore, if Dr. Octopus comes back as a digital data version of himself, that he owes you $20.
Ghost Doc?
No, more like computer virus.
Oc. Yeah. Lawnmower Man, Dr. Octopus.
I can totally see that going.
Yeah, so anyway, that's it.
I'm sure we'll talk more about Spider-Man soon when The Amazing Spider-Man comes out.
All new. Amazing Spider-Man.
But I'll say this, too. I did like how it ended, and there's parts of it that I didn't like so much either. So
I'll tell you what I loved about it for a $6 book is that there are, like, two full stories in there.
Yeah. Yeah. That was worth it.
I also like some of the repercussions that Peter's going to have to deal with. Mm-hmm. And a lot of stuff that he just doesn't know right now, which is interesting.
Yeah.
I love Jameson. He's saying, it would have been nice if you had told me that 30 minutes ago.
Before I resigned. Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be cool. I've noticed, too, that Spider-Man looks a little chunkier. I like the drawing on the front. Well, and even the artists are in there. He's looking a little... chunkier, a little fatter, maybe. Maybe Dr. Octopus let himself go a little bit.
Well, it was all that that good eating that Anna Maria made for him.
She's so sweet. That's awesome.
I feel bad for that character, actually.
That's the most that I'm wondering how it's going to be explained.
That I care, but the thing is, you care the most about that. So
what I did love, too, though, was one thing that Peter learned from Doc Ock was instead of just stop going after Green Goblin... to go save the person, he goes, no, I think I can do both. And then threw that knife down.
She's pretty capable. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm like, yes, at least he's going to change a bit for the better and not be whiny Peter.
Oh, and it looks like he's going to have his business and everything. And mm-hmm. I think he will take some of the better things from Doc. So.
Yeah, we're getting.
Yeah, we're reviewing the book. All right, so go pick that up, because if you've been following Superior Spider-Man and you're not going to read the ending, that's just kind of silly.
Yeah, if you don't read this, you have no soul. Like Peter Parker.
Hey. You know, it'd be interesting, and I will say this, as the arbitrator for this bet, if we find out later that Peter does not have a soul like Mephisto has his soul, even though he got his mind back, we're going to have to reopen this and have a debate, and we'll bring in Kevin to arbitrate that one.
That's fine.
All right, fair deal.
So, Tony, when are you paying me?
Get you back on the first, my brother.
All right.
Just as a quick heads up, I mentioned them briefly, but Off the Shelf was brought to you by Motor City Comic Con. And we're a month away, just under a month away. And so it's going to be in Novi, Michigan at the Suburban Collection Showplace. And you can check them out at MotorCityComicCon.com. And that guest list is still growing, which is awesome. And on that guest list, us.
Yes.
Yeah. So get your tickets early. Come and see us. And you can poke Matt with a stick this year.
Hey, man, I am totally about stick poking. But just warning, I may poke back.
All right. How about some news?
News.
I think we got quite a bit today. Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah? All right. Tony, you were talking a lot about Superman.
Yes.
And Image's answer to Superman back in the day was Supreme. Supreme is coming back.
That's nothing like the Squadron Supreme, right? Or was it?
No, Supreme just being the one guy that was created by Rob Liefeld. Okay. And it's one of those things where
Supreme, the word Supreme has the word super and eminent.
Yeah,
like Superman.
That Supreme is like Superman. So this one you're actually correct on.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's I don't know exactly when it's coming out, but it's going to be, you know, coming back out from Image here at some point. So if you're a fan of him, keep your eye out. Otherwise, if you just want to try a new Superman comic, keep your eye out. What else you guys got?
Something that I found very interesting, and it makes sense when you understand the back end dealings of different movie companies, is Amazing Spider-Man 2 has one of the post credits, you know, teasers for the X-Men movie, and not the new Spider-Man movie that comes afterwards, which this has been unseen of in the, not Marvel, but the superhero cinematic universes before. And what you come to find out, that it's all tied into Sony getting, who was it that you were saying, Kevin? Getting
Webb?
Yeah, Mark Webb over to them.
Which is an excellent name for a Spider-Man movie.
Yeah.
Yes. So, I don't know. I found that very interesting. So people who go see the new Spider-Man just know that it's not going to be a crossover event happening.
It's just cross-promotion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which
is sad, because one of the things that make that movie, those movie universes great, is when there is the interconnectedness. I miss that. I miss having mutants or Spider-Man and the Avengers stuff, but since big corporations can't play together nicely,
yeah, well,
it makes me sad. But
more Image news: Hack Slash is coming back with a new series, Hack Slash Son of Sam Hain. So that's looking like it's going to be pretty slick. It's going to be Michael Merici and Steve Seeley doing that.
Those guys are a bunch of hacks.
Hey, no need to slash on people.
I'm kidding.
Yeah.
Good series.
Yeah. And actually, Tony, you talked to Mike Merici back last year at Motor City.
Mm-hmm.
So, about his book, Hoax Hunters. So, yeah, that's coming out. And I think it's coming out in very early June. So, fans of that book ought to be pretty happy. What else is out there, boys?
I'd be excited, but I'm a big Star Trek fan. That Q is coming to the Star Trek universe. Now, Star Trek by IDW is based upon the movies, the recent J.J. Abrams movie series. So that's really cool. I'm stoked for that. Yeah, another reason for me to keep on trucking on with the
trekking.
Keep on trucking
with the Star Trek series. And I didn't, honestly, it all goes back to that speech given at the Comics Pro workshop about how licensed properties aren't going to work, and
they're wrong. I think licensed properties can work, and they have worked.
Here's my question about
hit
the.
Or miss, but.
Here's my question about Q in this comic. Q originally came about in the Next Generation.
Yes.
And this is the old generation.
The first generation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Q is a...
Well, in a different universe. Yeah. Altogether, though.
But Q is also like a... Isn't he a pan-dimensional being, or is he just a...
Is he immortal?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like a cosmic... God, almost.
Yeah, he's just a cosmic entity.
So it makes no difference that he's been around much longer than Starfleet has been around.
Okay, because it's kind of interesting because, like, the cover of this, which I always liked that character, what little I did watch of Star Trek.
Oh, he's definitely a fan favorite.
Yeah, but you've got the cast of the new movies drawn in here, and then Q... drawn exactly like he was in the Next Generation. I was like, it's fucking with my head a little bit. I'm not going to lie. It's kind of like, these things don't mix. But, yeah, that one, actually, Kevin, I might pick that one up.
Yeah, the Gambit looks like a six-part series.
Yeah.
Dick Grayson's getting his own comic book.
Okay, this one, I've talked to a few people about this, and I'm torn.
Well, he's already got, I mean, I think there's a Robin book out there right now, right?
Well,
there was... Nightwing, yeah.
Yeah, but there's no more Nightwing because he got unmasked during...
Forever Evil.
Resident Evil or whatever it was.
Well, yeah, that's the problem I have with this book, what they're trying to do. It sounds like they're trying to turn him into like Winter Soldier super spy, but when everyone in the world knows who you are, how can you be a spy?
Well, that's,
you get a face change.
That's why, like, you know, when I first saw this,
he'll get his face torn off like the Joker, and then he can
No, when I first saw this, I'm like, my problem with it is it just seems to me like it's gonna be Dick Grayson, Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. And I understand why it will probably be a great book. Mm-hmm. I'm interested enough just based on the creative team to go ahead and pick it up.
Just give it a shot.
Yeah, just because the creative team by itself. But I'm looking at that outfit going, dude, did you steal that out of Nick Fury's closet? You know, I'm like, it's just a little too much, you know. Right. Like, I don't know. But I am curious. I will give it a shot. Tony, do you remember when that book comes out?
I believe July.
Okay.
Beginning of July.
All right. Other things with release dates, and we'll see if this one actually comes out. Multiversity is supposed to come out again.
Only four years later.
What is Multiversity?
Multiversity is Grant Morrison's DC book that there's like a ton of people that did art on this. Chris Sprouse, Carl Story, Ben Oliver, Frank Quitely, Cameron Stewart. Those are just the first handful of names in here. Basically, now this was originally announced 5 years ago that it was going to come out as a 2010 release. And it didn't come out.
Better late than never.
We'll find out.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's this is actually a pretty cool thing, is that you've got the idea that I don't remember how many issues this was going to be, but there are all these different universes in there where you have these, and they listed them off in here. And this article came from Comics Alliance, so if anybody wants more information, they can go there and check it out. But it's kind of like you've got... You've got, where was it? The Silver Age Flash, Barry Allen.
Okay.
In the Multiversity, he got his name from a comic book from the Golden Age Flash. Like, he was reading this comic book. And what you find out is that there are these comic books on all of these worlds, and the heroes in the comic books are actually just in different universes.
Okay.
So it's actually pretty cool sounding. And it's supposed to be coming out in August.
If it comes out?
I think at this point it will.
Okay.
You know, when you've got that many people already listed on it, it's probably finished.
I don't know. Close to it.
But, yeah, it's, I think it's going to be like a 40-page, you know, book. I don't know how many, you know, how many different ones it's going to come out with. But anyway, that's it. Check that one out when it hits.
Something I'm looking forward to is the Dark Horse is coming out with an Aliens vs. Predator book, which they've done this multiple times before, and they're always been, you know, fun reads. You know, they fight, and someone gets hurt. And
occasionally Predator buys Alien a beer.
Yeah. But this one
Predator never buys back, yeah. Cheap fucker.
This is all going to be a part of an upcoming Prometheus comic book line, though, which the reason why I'm super happy about this means this might explain what the fuck happened in Prometheus. It will explain maybe where the aliens come from and are involved in this Prometheus aliens world, where the predators may also kind of form. So I'm looking at this more or less as, instead of just the random, they meet up, fight, Predator wins, gets a trophy, that this might actually explain a little bit of the Prometheus aliens. So,
well, I mean, it was explained that this is supposed to be a sequel to the Prometheus film. So I'm even more excited now that I saw that. I'm like, whoa, okay. There is some sort of tie-in because, I mean, that movie concluded. I'm like, wow, I'm all in. I mean, I really enjoyed the movie, but definitely the ending.
Yep.
I was going to say, there's good points and bad points with the movie, which could be discussed at another time. But but that's interesting that they're going to continue the story in the comic medium and not try to make another movie.
No, I think they're still going to try to make another movie.
Okay.
They got to make another movie. Yeah.
But this will hopefully fill in the gap until then.
Okay.
Boom Studios, kicking ass, putting out more awesome books. And the newest one that's coming out that I am looking forward to is called The Woods. And it's from James Tinian IV and Michael Dialinus. I probably just butchered the hell out of his name, sorry. But this is it kind of a horror, maybe sci-fi type thing. And the basic premise is that there's this school that is just randomly transported into another world, that it's like into this mystical forest where like everything's trying to fucking kill you. And
that's how forests used to be.
Yeah.
There are troubles in the forest.
What?
You guys familiar with... Oh, you guys don't like Rush. That's right.
No. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I got the same problem at home. No one likes Rush.
I don't think that's just at home. But, yeah, that's...
You guys are dogging it. Rush, Superman.
Yeah. All right. Do we have anything else that needed to be brought up before we...
Just a quick shout-out that I've been seeing a lot of articles, or more or less reviews, on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and the overall... You know, opinion is that the show is finally getting good. I've been watching it since the beginning, and I've always enjoyed it.
It's just getting more gooder.
Yeah.
I haven't been watching it. Is it because they're, and of course this is perception, Is it because they're dumping more characters into it?
Things are happening quicker, and the things that are happening are carrying over to other episodes, so you don't have a lot of those standalone filler episodes, if you will, that you had early in the season. But I think the biggest, and the reason I want to bring this up is, you know, in their defense, when this show has to coincide with when movies are coming out, you know, they couldn't get to the big Hydra reveal. Sorry, spoiler alert.
Hail Hydra.
until Captain America came out. And so they might have had this material ready to go for it, and they're like, well... They took some breaks off because we didn't get a lot of episodes in February at all. But I think they've now established the characters, and now that they can get to like a real good storyline, it's picking up quite a bit. So give it a shot. If you've kind of been like, I'm on the fence, give it a shot. Go see it.
Yeah, that's really cool. It'd be funny if you mentioned Hail Hydra. I was listening to Sports Talk. I listen to Sports Talk a lot. And... for like a whole hour long segment, the two guys on the radio. And this is a local sports station. They kept on saying "Hail Hydra" over and over again. So probably the only comic book reference you'll ever hear related to sports from jocks. It was pretty sweet because cool. they were obsessing about that that movie. So.
Last bit of news that I just briefly want to give a shout out that I saw. The old series from Vertigo, Scalped, which was a 60-issue run, is coming to TV, but most notably, it's coming to WGN.
The Superstation. Hell yeah, man.
Name like Scalped, I'm not sure that will fly over well, but then again, it could be about something totally different. I'm not familiar with Scalped.
Scalped is...
About ticket sellers out front of arenas.
It's about the Washington Redskins.
It's actually loosely based on the story of Leonard Peltier. Or Peltier, or whatever it is.
That doesn't help me.
Okay, well, it's... Here's the thing that I'll give you. Scalped is about a Native American FBI agent who has been estranged from a South Dakota reservation for 15 years, but returns as part of an undercover operation to find evidence linking the sheriff of the tribal police to the death of two FBI agents 30 years previously.
Okay.
So, there's...
Normal
coming of age story.
I don't know this, but, I mean... Would some people find that offensive?
Some people might.
I'm sure
the name of the title of with a you have a Native American.
I'm sure they would.
Dude, people find everything fucking offensive these days.
Yeah. Wait till we get to booze in a book.
Yeah.
Shit. People are a bunch of righteous cunts. They just need to get over it.
Tony, I am offended by the C word.
Which C word? Cookies?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm offended you're not sharing any cookies with me.
I think that's a great segue into Booze in a Book for this week.
All right, what you got?
So I've got Battle Pope and Lefroig. Battle Pope, written in the early 2000s by Robert Kirkman, art by Tony Moore, co-created by the two, Robert Kirkman and Tony Moore. And Lefroig, a single malt scotch from the Isle of Islay. Here's the deal.
Wait, from the Isle of Islay?
Islay.
So isn't it just the Isle of Isle?
No, it's easily.
Can I find this in North America?
Yeah, actually, you can find Lefroig around. Battle Pope's probably going to be harder to find now than Lefroig, especially since Kirkman's so popular with, I don't know, he did this other book about zombies
Space
and
Ace.
Stuff. Yeah. So, so, here's why the two are paired together. Neither are for the thin-skinned. Okay, the world of Battle Pope is gritty, it's dirty, it's post-rapture, so it's hell on earth. And Lefroig is peaty and earthy and smoky. Drinking it, sometimes people like to liken it to drinking dirt. I love it. It goes great with cigars, just like Pope would be smoking throughout the entire issue of Battle Pope. If you do not have a sophisticated palate, or you're easily offended, then both the book and the drink might turn you off right away. But for those who can see past their maybe harshness, you're in for a real treat. Great book, and my favorite scotch. So,
cool.
He just likes the taste from all the mud pies I made him eat as a kid.
Scotch, scotch, scotch. You just tell him, no, it's delicious. Eat it, dick.
I didn't know you spiked all of those mud pies with scotch.
All right. Indie Turnpike. Brought to you this week by Fanfare Sports and Entertainment. Check them out at fanfare-se.com. I've got Translucid, number 1 of 6 from Boom Studios, and it's written and created by Claudio Sanchez and Chandra Etchert, illustrated by Daniel Bayless, colors by Adam Metcalf, and the cover by Jeff Stokely. And this was one actually we talked about had we picked a definitive best on tap, best cover of the week that Translucid was probably going to...
So it's an honorable mention?
Yeah, if nothing... honorable mention, if not winner. But there was no definite winner this week. This book, I had no idea what to pick, what to expect out of it. And I opened it up and I saw a dude in a suit with a giant horse head. And I'm like, the last time I saw somebody with a giant horse head was God Hates Astronauts. And I loved that book. God Hates Astronauts was very funny and weird, and this isn't funny. So just
is it weird? Is weird though.
Okay.
It yeah.
Is Beta Ray Bill in it? Because he's also got a horse face. did anyone ask him why the long face?
No. Although
is actually, his name Ed?
That would be great though. Like if you had a comic with you know, Mr. Ed and Horse here from Translucid, Beta Ray Bill, Sarah Jessica Parker.
you know. I just want to see Lisa Frank being one of the illustrators for this.
All right. Anyway, this is your kind of
coming of age.
Well, a little bit, yeah. But on the most basic breakdown, this is your standard hero villain story, but you're witnessing everything from the villain's perspective.
Nice. Good.
I don't know if, like, and there's these flashbacks to a young kid. You can't quite figure out 100% if it's the origin of the villain or if it's going to be the origin of the hero.
That's kind of nice.
Yeah. I think it's the origin of the villain, but I don't know because I could be surprised. This is one of the most unique scripts as far as what's, you know, how to start a quote-unquote hero-villain story I've seen in a long time. It's almost post-apocalyptic in some aspects. It's definitely a surreal situation. The powers that their hero has is fantastic because he basically has kind of like this little, like, graph. Like,
oh, my gosh, yeah. It's a scroll wheel that you would see in, like, an action.
It's almost like a Tony Stark.
It's like Link's inventory.
I know, I'm thinking like an action RPG video game.
Yeah.
Like playing Legends of Zelda, you get Link's inventory that comes down and you can select.
Yeah.
And then, I'll take the hookshot.
And then he touches it and it manifests whatever he wants there.
I want that power. But
this is just a really, really cool book. And it's not a fast read, which is actually kind of the same thing with Solar, Man of the Atom. Both of these books are very unique takes on, you know, on the whole superhero genre, if you will. So go pick up Translucid. Boom Studios, man. I swear, everything I've been picking up from them,
they're exploding.
They are. It's big bang boom. So, yeah, you can't go wrong with this. Gorgeous book to look at. The art's beautiful. The writing's fantastic.
You'll just be mesmerized by any of the pictures with Horsehead guy.
that is part. Well, because when I was first reading that, I'm sitting there like going, is this just a mask or can he make it like move? Like, you know, I kept looking for any kind of sign of change of emotion and there isn't, which that's just creepy. It's just really, really creepy by itself that there's just this horse mask on there, but
especially the really towards the almost second to last page where
don't give anything away though,
but how trippy it is.
Yeah,
like very, very colorful, very good.
Sweet.
Yeah, it's a really, really solid book. So fantastic job on the entire creative team. Listeners, go buy this book. You'll thank me later. All right.
Sweet.
I almost forgot, because it's just our second week. People at home that want to sport some Drunk on Comics tactical wear can go get their t-shirts at Daw Apparel, DAWAPPARELcom. And if you put in the code DOC20, you get 20% off your entire order. And if you share what you buy on your social media, you get your shipping for free too.
Nice.
Yeah. So,
good deal.
Yeah, hell of a deal. And there's more stuff than just our shirts on there. So, like, if you decide you want some of the other funny shirts on there, you buy whatever you want, you get 20% off all that stuff, too. You just got to put in DOC20.
Cool.
Yeah. Last call?
Last call.
This was the weirdest week for me where I didn't spend a fortune at the comic book shop, and I only had a few books. Besides the one that we already mentioned, God is Dead, number 11, came out, and that book is still amazing. I will never shut up about it.
Well, I know in the comic shop, you won't shut up about it. You're like, damn it! It's coming out again! And then you read it, you're like, that was really good. And then two weeks later, damn it!
I, I will reserve my judgment until we get to the end.
All right. The Auteur number 2 came out. Still really weird and fun. Not a book for everyone.
X-Force number 3 came out. Rocky Kim is... He's killing it with the art, and it's one of the reasons I'm still with it is the art. It's fabulous, and Derek, you'd love it because Psylocke is badass in it. So
yeah. Speaking of the X titles, Uncanny X-Men number 20 and Wolverine number 4. Wolverine number 4 in particular, I was very surprised on the story on this one because I'll be honest, Stegman's art is the main reason that I was reading it because. Holy shit. It's just, this has been the best stuff he's ever done, and that says a lot because he's always been good. But the story sucked me in on this one pretty well.
Because he's riding a bicycle on the front.
That's a motorcycle.
Are you sure he's not pedaling? You can't tell. It's a still frame.
Yeah. No, this one really dives into the whole, you know, having to wear armor and this and that. And what Wolverine is really doing by leaving the school.
Mm.
So, if I get the... What if Age of Ultron number 3? And then, since I wasn't here last week, I'll also give a shout-out to number 2. These issues really have nothing to do with the Age of Ultron. They're just good what-ifs. Okay. Really, I don't understand what their tie-in is Age of Ultron, but...
Well, maybe they figured they could sell more comics if it said Age of Ultron.
Maybe. I don't know. These are just good what-ifs. They just should have just sold it as what-ifs.
Actually, I'm kind of wishing that they would have, because what if you wouldn't have called it Age of Ultron?
Would you have gotten more sales?
You would have for me. Because yeah. I didn't buy it strictly because it was Age of Ultron, yeah. And I didn't care for the Age of Ultron story.
Yeah, seriously. It's a...
Tell us later.
No, the gist of it is number 2, what if there was a world without Tony Stark? Issue 3, what if there was a world without Thor?
Yeah, see, my understanding is all these what-ifs were if different Avengers had died.
Yeah.
And those, you know...
That's...
I don't know, if they would have made that more clear...
Yeah, it might really have brought me in. That's what they should have done. Now, number 1, which I've reviewed... a handful of weeks ago. That was excellent and tied to
Age of Ultron. But the other ones don't really
have I don't think so.
Man, what if Captain America got frozen in ice?
So the only other one I'm going to give I have to mention is Supergirl number 30.
Was Superman in it?
No Superman and Supergirl. No.
I looked at that and I kind of wish I would have picked it up.
Yeah, it's still continuing the Red Daughter of Krypton storyline, but I think you could jump on and be not completely lost.
Last one I got to mention is Hulk number 1.
Was it smashing?
No, it was pretty incredible.
Okay. What's so funny?
I don't know what you're talking about, Willis. Yeah, Marvel kind of surprised me. Nice job. Good. So, all right.
Enough said.
Enough said. Yeah. Excelsior. Anybody else have anything else that we need to bring up?
It's good to be back. Good to be back.
Yeah, yep. We'll see you in a month, I guess.
Probably.
Yeah, at Motor City.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, guys. Time for us to go get some more drinks. So find us on Twitter.
Find us on Facebook.
Find us on Instagram, even though we still don't know what the fuck we're doing there.
You haven't just taken random pictures?
Here's
a comic book store with an interesting film on it.
What
you do?
I think so. I don't know. Like, I'm so not hip.
You're getting old. You're getting old.
I am getting old. Well, getting older. I've been old for a long time.
Yeah, I say you're old.
Yeah.
Well, listeners, keep reading your comic books. Keep on drinking. And we'll be back to you next week to talk about them then.
Keep on trekking.
Huber Bach, it's almost 9 o'clock in the morning. I think I'll call up Mitch, wake up that son of a bitch, it's time to get rolling. see, I'm a regular, and my bot I'm toting. I pay no rental dues, I'm sporting custom shoes, a pair I've stolen. I do this every day, oh man, I've got to pay, I'm going bowling. My pen is standing proud, I like to say it loud, I'm going bowling. I've made